Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Elevation Radio 1, and I'm your host, Pastor Steve, the Music Man Turner, and we thank you for taking the journey with us. It's a program that spotlights positive people doing positive work while serving a positive God whose name is Jesus, and we thank him for that. Our subject matter today is Dining with Deceivers. Dining with Deceivers. And the sub-thought is, could this be your last supper? Could this be your last supper? And we first want to give honor to God. We want to also give honor to the memory of my late wife, that's First Lady Leora Turner, who was essential in putting this program together, and it is still going on. We want to also welcome our special guest, who's on the line. All right, who's on the line?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We all can hear you, sir. All right. And now, can you identify yourself, sir?
Yes, sir. This is Dr. Leroy McKenzie Jr. Good to be here this evening.
All right, good to have you, sir. And again, for those just tuning in, our subject matter is Dining with Deceivers. Dining with Deceivers, could this be your last supper? And I hear a lot of noise in the background. Not sure. But anyway, Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 10, it says, the beloved disciple, the treasurer of to the 12, who stayed after the departure of the 120 original disciples, there were originally 120 disciples, but they got upset with Jesus and left. But why would he, if he stays after all that, why would he then betray Christ? Why would he betray Christ to his enemies? He knew who they were. What motivated him after seeing all the miracles, after hearing the Sermon on the Mount, the knowing that he healed the sick, raised the dead, and saw him cast out demons? He was with him when he fed the 5,000 with the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And but wasn't any of this good enough? I guess not. So did Christ mistreat Judas? I don't think there's any recording of account that he did. So let's explore this passage. What makes people, here's the question of the day, what makes people, employees, family members, spouses, and even children betray the very ones who have been good to them? And so first, can you tell us, Dr. McKenzie, what company you represent?
Yeah,
Dr. McKenzie.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
We can all hear you. What's the company that you represent?
Yeah. It's JNF Enterprises, LLC, which is a business consulting and book publishing consulting firm.
Okay. That's pretty good. How long have you been doing that, sir?
I've actually been doing this almost since 2008.
Okay. How many offices
did you
say you
have? Did you say how many offices?
How many authors have you worked with?
Oh, authors I've worked with over 30 authors in some way, shape, or form. Some have just been, where I've done editing services for. Some I've actually done publishing, for the full publishing aspect for. Some I've just done marketing for. Some I've just done branding for. So it just depends on what their needs are and how I can assist them in being able to gain the exposure that they desire and that they need and want.
All right, 16 years you've been at it. It's just fantastic. And so with the subject matter, Dining with Deceivers, again, let me just read that for you so that you can get an idea. It says, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples, was Christ's disciples, said unto him, where wilt thou that we go? And prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover. Where do you want to go so we can eat this food? For the Passover. And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall you meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And whatsoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Before I go any further, what do you get from that?
Well, What I'm hearing is Jesus just telling them that there's a specific, kind of place that they are going to be having for the Passover, and that place is already, say, reserved, if you will, for lack of a better word, is already reserved, is already in place for the Passover, and in order for that to take place, this is what needs to be done.
Uh-huh. And now, how did he know that a man would be carrying a pitcher of water before the man knew?
Because, he would, Jesus would know because he is, and I don't know how folks will kind of understand this, but he is God manifest in the flesh. So there's a fleshly aspect of Jesus, which is him being in the flesh, in the body that he's in, but there's also the spirit to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you're more the theologian than I am, but there's the spirit side and aspect of Jesus, which is connected to the Father, which knows all and is understanding of what is to come. Is that, I hope I'm making sense.
you're on the right side of the street, sir. I'd have just made it. I know. See, because you're a doctor, you had to make stuff right. I had to fix it up. I am a plain person, so I'm just going to say that he was a prophet, the greatest prophet that ever lived. Prophets know future.
I want to ask you this: Was Jesus a prophet? Because remember, he asked. I forgot which disciple was it. Peter? I think he asked Peter, "Who do they say that I am?" And he tells them, well, some say you are a prophet. Some say that you are, the Emma Yamashia, I think I'm saying it right. The coming Christ.
The Messiah.
And he said, yeah. And so Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? So I believe he wasn't just a prophet. He was more than a prophet. He was more than the prophets that we consider to be prophets.
Okay, I see where you're trying to go. You were actually right before you started trying to step on my toes here. You were right. He was God in the flesh. Therefore, if he's God in the flesh, he's all that and more. Okay, so he's everything. The Messiah, the greatest prophet that ever lived. I'm just talking about in this passage here where he's actually foretelling what a man will be doing, where he will be.
Okay, I
get and can instruct
saying.
His
yeah, I understand.
Right, construct his disciples to go somewhere and to see a man who doesn't even know he's coming. They will be carrying a pitcher of water that he's going to be picking up.
Right, I understand. I totally get it.
Yes, sir. And so that's what this is all about. This is a broadcast is for the upbraiding and understanding and the enlightenment of those who either don't go to church, won't go to church, or won't go to the house of God, and or can't find it if they fell into it. You'll find it here because we'll be right here trying to help you. And a lot of times we help you, we help ourselves too, because that's why we have guests.
Absolutely.
And more learned folk that can give us revelations and understanding, because we're just here to learn and be better. And I just want to be better. And so he says here, wherever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And I'm trying to move on, but there's something here. It's not just faith, but it's expectancy. He's actually speaking something into existence to a stranger who may not even know what's happening. But because they're speaking what he said to speak, oh my goodness, then things begin to occur and happen, and folks begin to give you a favor and openness into things that you were not really qualified to get. Somebody's, you know, I know I've had some jobs in my time. The way the job's supposed to go, you're supposed to see a notice, apply for it, get an interview, and then hopefully you maybe get the second interview, and then they might tell you through mail or down the road if you got it. That's usually how it's supposed to work, right?
Right.
Okay. I don't know about you, sir, but I have had the favor of God. I recall one time I was actually in a bank in Baltimore, mm-hmm. and had my head down. Someone came in that I used to work with years ago and said, "What's got your head down for?"
Okay.
I'm like, "Hey," he said, "I said I got bills and I need a job. It's got to be sudden, I tell you." And he said, "Well, I know they're hiring down at the East Baltimore Community Corporation." I was like, "Really?" And doing what you used to do, job development. "Why don't you give him a call?" Now, I called. They asked me to come in immediately, and I came in that day immediately. And before I could get home, they had called, and I missed the call, and they called back. "Is this Mr. Turner?" I said, "Yes." "East Baltimore Community Corporation. The job you applied for, the job developer." He said, "Yes. Can you start Monday?" "Today's Friday."
Mm-hmm.
"I know." "Can you start Monday?" We have immediately. And because I spoke it, because I had faith, it occurred. And I'm just telling you, I've had a few of those instances where you get the job, then you got to go back and fill out the application. It doesn't make sense, but when you're dealing with God and favor and all that. But let's go to this dining with deceivers. And so as I read it a little further, then I'll get your input. It says here that he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared there, make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them. That's the difference between a prophet and a prophet lie, is that the prophet lie stuff never comes to pass. But the true prophet of God, things do come to pass. And they said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in this evening he mm-hmm. cometh with the 12. Here, it gets spicy now. And as they sat and did eat, they eating together, eating this Jewish Passover, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me." Can you imagine that? You're with your boss, your master, your teacher, the Mashiach, your bishop, your pastor, your apostle. You're eating dinner and celebrating, and then out of the blue, that's why you got these prophets. They come, real prophets, they jump out of the blue. In the middle of the meal, he yells out, "One of you will betray me." What would you do?
You mean what would I do?
Yeah, that's what I asked you.
Well, my first thought would be, if I'm one of the 12, I'm wondering, okay, who is it? who's the rat in amongst us? Who is that is going, you know? And because I know for me, and you know, the loyalty that I have for God, and like you had mentioned at the beginning of the show where you talked about, they had been with Jesus since he called them in the beginning of his ministry. So they saw everything except for what? They saw everything. They didn't see the water into wine. I don't think they were they with him? Were the disciples with him turned the water into wine? Or was that just Mary? Was just his wife? Just his mother. That was just his mother. Yeah, just his mom that witnessed that one. But the feeding the 5,000, the healing the sick, you know, all of those, they were witnesses to. And
that's
so
right.
to be in that circle and to know who he was and to experience what they experienced, yeah, it's that would be, and you, I believe it would have to trouble Jesus, but at the same time, he knew, and I'd love to get your feedback on this, he knew that he had to be betrayed in order for him to go to the cross. He doesn't go to the cross if Judas doesn't betray him, if Judas doesn't sell him out.
Watch yourself, sir. You're getting too theological. Getting too deep, sir.
Think about that. And even not just Judas, but remember what he said to Peter. And Peter was like, Lord, what you talking about? I'm down with you. I ain't going to betray you no three times. I ain't going to talk about I don't know you. What you mean? Jesus was like, get thee behind me, Satan. Just please. You know, Peter, you ain't got a clue.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he said, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me.
Right.
Prophecy.
And the funny thing is, and you correct me if I'm wrong, in the Bible, it says when the cock crowed three times, Jesus looked at Peter as if to say, I told you.
I just said that to him. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but for Jesus to say, yeah, one of y'all gonna sell me out. I already know who it is, so I'm just going along with it, because as Jesus told them, y'all don't kill me. I'm laying my life down, and I have to lay it down, which means I've got to go along with what I already know is going to happen.
That's really gangster right there. I said, you're not killing me. I am laying it down.
Right.
You don't have a power.
Yeah.
Because I can call 10,000 angels.
Right.
And they'll check you off. What's up?
Right. It's just, it is just the grace and the mercy of, you know, of God in the form of Jesus saying, you know what? I love y'all so much. Yeah, I'm willing to endure what I know I've got to go through. And I know we're talking about, you know, being at the table with those that deceive us, but I always think about, Pastor, I always think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and him sweating so hard about what he had to do. He was like, Father, I ain't trying to go to the cross. He did not want to go.
If this cup could pass,
right.
That was the,
any other way we can do this?
Hold
he said, is there any other way we can do this?
Can we have a stuntman? Can we send a double?
Right. Can we have a stunt double? Can we?
Hold on a second. Now, that was the man. He was half God, half man. So that was the man part. But then I noticed in the scripture that his change into the God part was in milliseconds, because he says, if this cup could pass, then he says, nevertheless, thy will be.
Nevertheless. Wow. Well, you preaching now, preacher. That nevertheless.
It was
that
fast.
Nevertheless.
We have had those moments ourselves. We've had a moment ourselves where we are facing a situation. We don't want to be bothered with it. I just got one a minute ago before I walked into my office. They never send anything good. They used to send me my receipts when I paid my rent. Now they're telling me they're going to jack me up $200 more, and I ain't doing nothing new in the building. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but nevertheless, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. But he's got to do it, and I throw it up in the air, let him catch it. And so, sometimes we're both single men now, but sometimes you may see some things that you shouldn't see walking down the street, if you hang there too long, you might get in trouble. And you turn around and say, no. I got that.
Birdie told me something different.
Uh-oh. Go ahead, say it.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're going to get into this, so I don't want to step on your toes with this. But
watch yourself, sir.
What do you do? No, what do you do when you know that someone is going to betray you? Someone that is close to you is going to betray you. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. It's got to happen. Because it's a part of your learning process.
I know you as a co-host like to turn things around on me as a host, but let me just turn it back around. Let me see here. Have you ever been deceived, sir?
I won't say I haven't been deceived by somebody, by anybody that I've worked with, that I've partnered with or collaborated with, or been sponsored event and stuff. Now I've been disappointed in relationships that I've had because of, where I thought that the business relationship was going to go. And it turns out that it didn't, and people just walked away. So I was disappointed in that, you know what I mean? And they acted as if nothing ever happened, or they acted as if they blatantly just walked away. And it was just like, I don't know that dude.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I'm just moving on. I'm moving on to what else I do.
Bigger and better things. Let me help you here. Let me help you here. Hold on a second. Yeah, we're talking about deceiving. Let me help you. Musicians, ministers of music, organists are deceived constantly because we just want to play, we want to do our minister of music, we just want to help and all that. We're deceived sometimes in the beginning when a pastor will say or treasurer will say, we want you to come play for us. And we love the way you play, blah, 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 blah. We can afford to pay you so-and-so. Okay. And then as you begin to do that, then the checks get slower and slower. It takes a longer period of time to get paid. And you wonder what's happening. Okay. You take the check and you go to the bank, and the bank bounces because the check ain't no good.
Right.
Or here's another way of being deceived. You're playing and you see people, but you don't know who you're looking at. And sometimes when the church is ready to move on and fire you, they have the replacement sitting right in the audience looking at you, but you don't know who you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on they might say, call a meeting and say, we decide to. The church is moving on another direction.
Direction.
Well, because I have been fired on Thanksgiving, day before Thanksgiving, in front of my wife, with two of her clients that were with her in her medical practice. And so she didn't know they were going to do that. Mm-hmm. And neither did I. I was deceived. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. Most times when you get fired, it takes a lot of strength and wherewithal to not put hands on people.
Right.
Yeah. So that's any firing is deceptive to some degree in nature, because you can't really say to the person, "I'm going to fire you on Tuesday." The last job I got canned at, they made me work all weekend at home, come back in, do the project, and then come back in. And the day after the 90-day probation, 91st day, dirty. But that's corporate America. And that's the church sometimes, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you handle those types of betrayals and deception? I don't carry a Glock anymore, so I can't do that. And I'm stronger than that now. So how do you handle it? Flatten the tires? What do you do?
well, me personally, I'm going to always remain professional. That's just me. Not everybody does. Not everybody, even when we are deceived, even when we are mistreated, like you said, you were deceived, and I was, and this wasn't deception, but I would say I should have started coming, but I remember the first time I got fired from a job. And I was working for a hotel out at the airport, and they waited till the end of the day.
Yep.
And then, right in the back of the front office, because I worked in the front office there, but in the back of the front office where the reservations and where you come in, where people will come into the office to see the GM and everything, they fired me right there.
Mm.
Told me that my, like you, that's why I said I know the language, my services would no longer need it. Mm. And I, to be honest with you, I don't even remember them giving me, I forgot the reason that they said that they, and I don't think it was saying that they were moving in a different direction, but it was that kind of language. And everything. So it does happen. And I've had, like I said, I've had people that just walked it since I've been an entrepreneur. I've had people that just walked away from an agreement. Walked away from, we're in this, you know, we've signed an agreement. And here's the ironic thing about that. Before we signed the agreement, before we went into this contractual agreement, right, I'm telling them, are y'all ready for this? Do you understand what it is that this is going to say? Oh, yeah. No, we believe in it. We're going to do this. And I remember when the last statement that I made to one of them was, you got a decision to make. I told you this from the beginning that it wasn't going to be easy. So now that you're deciding to do whatever and to move on, you know, I never heard from them after that.
It's amazing.
Just walked away.
It's amazing. Let's take it to another scenario.
Mm-hmm.
When I had the church and I was actually pastoring weekly for those 3 years, I recall a lady coming in and she had, you know, quite a few kids and all that, but she had one in the hospital that was in intensive care. And so we prayed for her. We used to take her after. Now, my day started playing for a regular church, and then I would have to unload my equipment and then start at 4 o'clock in my service, and then load it back up, and then after preaching and playing the music and all that, and then I would put her in the car with my wife and family,
and take her to the hospital so she could stay with her child. Did that for every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came, when she came one time, she said, I want a house so I can put all my kids in. So we prayed for her to get a house. She got the house. She had quite a few. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you reach out the world, get number. Yeah. Oh, I got you. Okay.
She went like old Mother Hubbard, but she had quite a few. And so she got the house.
Did she have as many as Nick Cannon?
No. Hold on a second. Don't talk about Nick Cannon. He's one of my favorite actors. Okay. He can't help himself. So. <Hold on. laughs> And see, when you have good looks like that and curly hair, you can't help yourself. But anyway, my point is, and he's a star. He's a TV star. And so what happened is that when she got the house, her child was cured and then healed, came out the hospital. She...
Okay.
When I happened to be going through the building where we had our church services at, and I saw in the same room we were actually having our worship service in, was another church, and when I wondered who it was her sister who was a pastor.
Okay.
The whole time. I didn't know anything about it. But she joined the church. She then joined the church that we had in the same room that blessed her and helped her. When she got her blessing, she took it to her sister in the same room and joined that
church. She took it to her sister's church. Wow.
In the same room. Yeah.
Wow. Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. And there's nothing more deceptive than a relationship with a woman you think you are. That you think likes you, and even one that maybe even after you get married, that where you find out that it's not what you thought it was. I see those all the time on TV, in Corrupt Crimes and Daily Women, and those kind of things, and oral relationships with a doctor that says on Corrupt Crimes actually poisoned his wife. But that's the woman he wanted to marry. Poisoned his wife and actually killed her because he was want to go out with somebody else. These are all true stories. And that's the greatest deception known to mankind, when your spouse deceives you. It's terrible.
Yeah,
for
sure.
Yeah, so how do you survive all those things? And so I could go further, but I don't want you to go there. I'll just say that all the disciples did ask that question like you did. Is it I? They began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, it is I. Or is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. This is where the communion part comes from. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it. So to get to, here's something heavy here, and to get to the communion part, excuse me, where you have to commune with God, where you can commune with the Father to get close to him, you must be betrayed. Let that marinate for a while.
Yeah.
And something to think about. And so it says he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, and they all did drink of it. He still let them have communion, even though he had prophesied and told who was the mole, who was the
the spy, who was the betrayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He still went and gave them communion and still commune with them. And it says, and he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Mm. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So my question is, can you sing after you've been betrayed?
Woo!
Can you commune with God after you've been betrayed and then you had your back stabbed and had they said, look, laugh in your face and set you up? Do you still have a song to sing to God? Do you still have joy?
Smiling.
You could get a message.
Yeah, I noticed the Christian. This is a Christian radio show. This is a Christian podcast. But they smile
in
your
imagine?
Face all the time. They want to take your place.
Backstabbers.
They're backstabbers.
Lord have mercy.
Them backstabbers, man. How do you? And that's the thing, man. When you think about it, and we think of you know, you and I have just talked about a couple instances, situations that we've gone through, and of course we've gotten to the other side of it because we're here to talk about it. But think of, you know. And I don't know if you've ever watched this movie. It's a movie called The Founder, right? And it's the movie about The Founder. It's about the McDonald's story. It's the story of McDonald's and how McDonald's came to be what it is.
I don't have cable, sir.
let me tell you what the story is. Whatever.
Okay.
But the founder, which I believe every entrepreneur should watch, it's just a must watch. But it's a story in backstabbers. It's being deceived because I don't know if you know the story of McDonald's, but McDonald's is the name of the two brothers that started the restaurant. Ray Kroc is involved. Ray Kroc is the backstabber. The McDonald's brothers start McDonald's. They had one restaurant in
California.
San Bernardino, California. Ray Kroc, who was a milkshake salesperson, who was selling them, you know, was selling them shake machines and stuff, and comes across them. They bring him in. Show him the fast food. With the fast food system is it was created by the McDonald's brothers. They created that fast food system what we see today. But Ray Kroc comes in and he wants to take the restaurant national. They initially get into this partnership with Ray Kroc. Ray Kroc wants to do way more than what they do. They're like, no, because they've had a couple of other backstabbers in their past. So they're like, no, we good right here, being a small restaurant, catering to the people in the San Bernardino. Lines are long. People love our food. They get it fast. And we created this system, this first bundle, a drink, a sandwich, and fries, and all in under a minute.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ray Kroc saw a bigger version of that. He winds up meeting an attorney in the bank because he's having money problems. But he's in partnership with the McDonald's brothers, and they don't want to move. They don't want to budge as far as making more money. And so he winds up meeting with this attorney. The attorney shows him how he can
steal.
Steal the McDonald's franchise, the McDonald's and everything that they did from up under these brothers. And they do exactly that very thing. They do it so well that the McDonald's brothers have to take their name off of the original restaurant.
Oh. So he took the
That's the story of McDonald's. And everybody thinks that Ray Kroc is the original, you know, is the original of the Ray Kroc because he's the one that took it international, took it national. McDonald's is where it is today because of Ray Kroc. Let's not get that wrong. But the way
how did he still manage to get their use their name if you're not paying them?
No, originally they were. But what he did was he started a the McDonald's Corporation, and he began to under that name because he could use the McDonald's Corporation. It wasn't McDonald's, and what he was doing was he started franchising, where he bought the land. He bought up land first. He bought up land all of, he bought land in different places, and then he would have different franchises of the McDonald's because they didn't own the land. They are the only thing that the McDonald's brothers owned was what they did inside of the of the restaurant. Everything outside of it, Ray Kroc owned. The land, the building, he owned. That's what we're talking about today, about backstabbers, about the deceivers.
So,
and he went to his grave. He went to his grave with that on his conscience and with that on his life, because he had screwed those men. They cut him a check. Cut him a check for back in the day. He cut him a check for I think it was like $2 million, which was way below what they should have gotten for what he had done, even up until that point. But the family, the McDonald's family, does not get a dime of that money to this day.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they don't.
That's
they
the
haven't
story
had
of
a lawsuit.
McDonald's.
They didn't have a
no,
lawsuit.
No, they can't sue them. No, they
That's
can't.
The
because of when they signed, when he bought them out for that $2 million, that
okay,
was it.
Gotcha.
That was the extent of it. Yeah, that was the extent of it. They could not come back and sue him for it.
That principle
he owned
right
the
there
McDonald's
is,
name.
Right.
Yeah.
All rights.
Yep.
Incredible. Well, that kind of reminds me of another Citizen Roebuck.
Okay.
You heard
of
that, right?
Okay.
Well, that's probably before your time, but Citizen Roebuck used to be the store at Roebuck, and my mother told me it was a black man. And that got bought.
Okay.
He got bought out. And it's now it's Sears.
Okay.
But he probably told him that the store was going to go down. So I'm gonna give you some I give you some money to thank you for your time and service, and I'm gonna go on down with the ship. You went on down with the ship, all right? You got it. It's an absolute worldwide.
And have you heard the story? Have you heard the story of Jack Daniels? I mean, I know you know. I know you claim to be.
Wait a minute.
You know,
wait a minute, sir. This is a Christian show.
Say that. I know you claim to be saying that.
Show,
you don't
sir.
Partake of
how
this.
How dare thee. Talk about the devil's liquid.
but do you know the story of Jack Daniels?
No, sir. We're getting enlightened here by the doctor.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Jack Daniels. The whiskey was created by, I forgot his, Mr. Green. I can't remember. I think it was Nathaniel Green. I can't remember his nickname. But he was
sound
a
like
distiller.
A
no, it was, yeah. He was a distiller, great distiller. And he taught the son of a, because he was a slave at the time, he taught the son of a slave how to be a distiller. He was a distiller, but he was teaching the young man how to create whiskey and distiller, created the what is now known as Jack Daniels, and did not get credit for it, was not given credit for it. The son was given credit
Amazing.
For it because back then, You couldn't, black people, we as black people, we couldn't patent anything. We couldn't patent anything. We weren't allowed to be inventors of things. So his name couldn't go on it. And the son, Jack Daniel, which is where the name comes from, was credited with that whiskey, with that being the creator of that whiskey until the story came out. And so the I think it's the granddaughter now, but the family of Mr. Green, they started the now his he they tried to Jack Daniels family or whatever tried to make it right of sorts because the somewhat. But the Green family has a foundation, and they have it's a whiskey called, I think it's 1806, something like that, but it's a derivative of the Jack Daniels brand.
Okay.
So all of these stories of backstabbers that we have out here that have happened in when you look up our history. When you look up Black history,
yes, sir.
And all of the things that have been, you know, that we haven't been credit for, that someone else stole for, you know it. Here in Baltimore,
yeah.
they take land, they'll take somebody's land and try and claim it, you know, as
eminent domain, sir.
Yeah, eminent domain. Yeah, eminent domain. Yeah. Jesus went through it.
The righteous good mayor Brandon M. Scott would do that, would he?
Stop. See, there you go. I ain't messing with you. Get me in trouble. Somebody knocking on my door. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of knocking on doors, and being deceived, I was actually in D.C. for the rally to Congress that was sponsored by Dr. Rhonda Hamilton of the Healthy D.C. and Me Coalition. She's also the D.C. coordinator for the Dialysis Advocate and a consortium of people of came from different across the country. To protest and to also demand changes in the dialysis industry because of the issues that the mistreatment, the medical abuse, the verbal abuse, the psychological abuse that patients endure who are in this scenario by the two big monopolies, which are DaVita and Fresenius. Go ahead.
No, and I'm going to give you an even bigger deceiver than Judas.
Okay.
And it's a modern day worse than Judas. I ain't even had to say the name, and you knew who I was talking about.
Yeah.
People were talking about when we talk about this being a deceiver. Absolutely.
And now let me ask you this question here, because I'm just trying to figure out, is he really a deceiver, or are we being deceived by the American government? Because if I steal a bag of potato chips while being black, I will be choked, shot,
right.
Be exterminated. Okay. But you can attempt to overthrow this here U.S. government. You can have your folks climbing the walls like monkeys, doing strategic militaristic takeover, beating up sworn officers and trying to kill representatives in Congress and all that. And none of them are on the firing squad. And this dude can actually run again for president and have something to say in about world issues. He should shut up. They should shut him up.
I mean, and the thing is, he was a deceiver. He's been a deceiver all his life. If you look back at his dealings, ever since he was in his family business, and they were screwing, and even his daddy, I think, did the same thing because that's where he got it from. He would hire contractors and then not pay them. And because if you talk to anybody that's from New York or that New Jersey area up in there, they've hated Donald Trump for years. They knew the deal. They know who he truly is. They know the deceiver that he is. And all of the things that he's done over the years when it came to all of that. And my thing is, knowing the reputation, knowing who this guy is, why would people still be for this guy? And like you said, that's on people today, because this dude is blatantly telling and showing people who he is. Can you be a deceiver if you're telling people who you are? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I tell you, they elected him president.
Mm-hmm.
They did not clamor for him to be under the jail, and they are voting him back in, at least from the Republican side. So what is it about people, the government, is allowing a known criminal to,
right,
and a seditionist, to actually run again for presidency? Somewhere
right
in the government.
Right. Because I've said this, that how does he even pass the security clearance? With 91 felonies
91.
On the record. 91 felonies on the record.
And twice impeached.
How does he pass the security clearance? This is a man that had the most security of our documents of the government.
That's right.
In the basement or where, and all the, in the shower and the bathroom.
About a bathroom, really, yeah.
In his facility in Florida. How does that person become someone who can still run for president?
And
yeah,
he's talking
that.
About the
I'll let you think about
the prosecutor.
That.
He's talking about the prosecutor, Fannie, whatever her name is, Fannie.
Fannie Willis.
He's got Fannie Willis, and he's got playing husband and the strippers and all that. What are you talking about?
Right.
You ain't got nothing to say. Shut up. And so we've been deceived by that time. And then one of the greatest deceivers, I think, in the history of this modern age is Dr. Fauci. I'm going to Wuhan, China.
Yeah.
I'm going to create something. I'm going to be the preeminent voice to let you know that you need to prepare because you need to get more shots because of what? Who made you the end all to be all? I guess if you're releasing it, you'll know when it's coming. And he should be in jail for war crimes, but he's not. And they paid him $1 million, too, for doing it. So being deceived, Americans are deceived on a regular basis. Musicians are deceived every Sunday. The husband can be deceived by his wife.
Is it that folks are being deceived, or is it that folks are just not paying attention? Because the information is out there.
Well,
people
prefer to lack of knowledge.
People just choose to ignore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You see the red flags. Women do this quite often, too. You see the red flags, but you say, I can change him.
Ladies, that is not me. I did not say
well,
that. That was not me. That,
scared.
That was Pastor
scared.
Steve Turner. To
I'm
your email
petrified.
To Pastor Steve Turner.
I'm going to change
not
him.
Me.
Hold a second. Let me do a thing. Girl, you sure you like him? Yeah, girl, I can change him. I can turn him. It sounds like he is not the $6 million man, right? We can rebuild him. We can take him from where he is and make him over again. Okay.
Yep.
And if you got to make him over, that's a problem because that means he's not where he should be. And then you're going to make him, because you sound like God, you're going to make him over in your image.
Mm.
Maybe that's the problem. Is that the problem?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like what I just said, call it 1-914-205-5353 and talk to Dr. Leroy McKenzie Jr. and ask him those questions. You didn't realize what I just said, did you?
Say it again.
Yeah, I thought they went past you. I said that if any ladies have a problem with what I had just said, let them call at 1-914-205-5353 and talk to Dr. Leroy McKenzie, and he'll answer your question.
Yeah, don't be putting my name on.
Yeah, I thought they got
like
bad, sir.
I ain't trying nobody knocking on my door.
Oh, stop it.
Coming for me.
You wake up tomorrow and a horde of women will be out there banging on your front door.
not for a good reason, though.
Oh, have mercy. Say the dream turned to a nightmare.
Yeah, exactly.
Has that been to see? Oh, Lord, I've been to see. Yeah. All right. You got anything new coming up, sir?
I'm trying to think. Right now, just know, just daily, I have my podcast Monday through Friday. I do every Monday at, the Brand New Suite. I do that Monday through Friday, 9 a.m., live right on Facebook, right on YouTube,
uh-huh.
Right on LinkedIn. You can catch it when you're there, and I'm focusing on the 10 attributes of a high-value brand these last week and then this week coming up, and then I'm going to be talking about a high-value leader, what makes a high-value leader. What makes you a high-value leader? Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so I'm talking about those things right
okay.
now.
So. Maybe one day I'll be allowed to be on the show myself. Anyway, I think, I'm sorry, one second. I said maybe one day I'll be on
program
myself
at
some point.
You can come on. It's live on Facebook. I can bring you in. So I'm only on about 15-20 minutes, so it's not long at all. So
okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's up to my standards of longevity, sir.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not high value like you, so
watch yourself, sir. Watch yourself, sir, because I know that. I don't know what level I'm on, but I know that on Tuesday, I think at 6 p.m., you'll be on a higher level because you'll be treating me to lunch. God bless you.
Say that again.
For all the listeners out there, I said on Tuesday, Dr. Leroy McKenzie Jr., the CEO of JNF Enterprises, will be treating me to lunch on a business luncheon at my favorite headquarters.
God, yeah. when
God
happens,
bless you. You are so kind.
Hey,
what a humanitarian
that's
you
fake
are.
News. I told you I hang with Donald Trump, didn't I?
Philanthropist.
That's fake news.
that's
fake news.
And if you see us and you see me with an educated dark-skinned man in a suit and tie, with books on the table, then you know it's Dr. Leroy McKenzie Jr.
Hey, Pastor, you're not like, and this is y'all send y'all emails to Pastor Turner. He's not like some of the women out here that talk about they can't eat at Applebee's. He will not tell you no.
Please don't tell them my secret location. Where my headquarters is. I don't want anybody.
That is your headquarters, isn't it? That's for sure is your headquarters.
I have my name on a brick.
From Applebee's, then. we have got to get you a sponsorship from Applebee's. Yeah.
I tell you, I have stock in the company.
Applebee's a sponsor of the show, man. We got to make that happen. We got to make that happen.
I'm telling you, well, we got to put something together. And I got the right people. I put it in their hands. Yeah,
that is our assignment for 2024 for Applebee's to be a sponsor of the Elevation One radio show. Absolutely.
There we go. Yeah, well, hold on a second. We are pronouncing it. Thus it has been said, thus shall it be written. And so shall it be.
Yes, sir.
It's fantastic.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, there.
Absolutely.
It's been a real pleasure having you on the award-winning Elevation Radio One, the radio station of the year, 2023. Matter of fact, Dr. Frederick Newsom was supposed to be, was supposed to be on this program, but I guess he was called away.
Okay.
And Pastor Kenneth Marsh was supposed to be on this program too, but he sold me down the river. His members of the church were taking him out for his anniversary, so he kicked me to the curb. But it's all right. It's all right.
Well, why he even agreed to it? He knew it was his anniversary. You uncle.
Well, I guess they shanghaied him and surprised him that we're going to take you out for your anniversary. And so when the members start to do something, that is incredible. You can't pass those opportunities up because that don't happen every day.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Congratulations to him.
He's a singer, pastor. I think he might be a songwriter. And he's generally an older guy. He's now married, and his children are taller than myself, which is kind of hard to think about.
Okay.
Yeah, but
awesome.
A decent fellow. Mm-hmm. We will look forward to. Oh, as a matter of fact, I have to say condolences to suddenly the loss of a comedic legend here in Baltimore City. Pamela Renee Lee, otherwise known as Miss Maybell, has passed away.
Oh, really?
And,
yes. No.
Oh, yeah. And
oh,
so
I'm trying to see that.
I couldn't believe it. I didn't want to believe what I was reading.
Yeah.
But I actually got it from the page of Howard G. And that they were airtight friends.
Okay.
And so I've seen it on other pages. So, yeah, she and I were in a play together.
To hear that.
Yep. Mm. She, myself, and Howard G. were in a Ursula Battles play called Discord and the Choir together. And, that was some good times. And the last time I saw her, she was at the Sanford and Son play in Towson. And she was trying to get me to get her some food. And so we're feeding the comedians. So she was a legend. So when she said, "Boy, get me something to eat," I was like, "Yes, ma'am." And I went over and got her some, and brought it back to her. That's what you do for queens. Yeah, respond to what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So to the comedic family of Baltimore City, we wish you the best, and keep your heads up, and know that she graced us, and we were graced with the queen of comedy, Pamela Renee Lee, otherwise known as Miss Maybell. Rest in peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, my friend, I'm going to go on from here. And
yes, sir.
For those who want to clap their hands and rejoice, I will be on the Hammond B3, God willing, tomorrow at First Mount Calvary, 1142 North Fulton Avenue, for a 10 a.m. service. All right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time and your expertise, and hopefully this program has delivered what it was expected and intended to, and may someone be blessed and realize that although you may be dining with deceivers, you know who they are. Just keep on moving, keep loving, keep forgiving, because in the end, God will do and protect you and repay. And that's really what it's all about. All right, sir. I guess
all
this
right.
was a... explosive program because my screen has just gone blank and I can't see how to end the program. But it's what happens when
time to go.
We delve into the serious spiritual realm.
All right. God bless you, sir. Take care.
All right,
Elevation Radio 1.
Good night, everybody. Mm-hmm.